To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, at Facebook, Twitter, or MeWe. Good morning. Today's photo of a wave forming a beautiful tree backlit by the glowing sun, a surreal view of last night's sunset on Lake Ontario in Oswego, New York, comes from our friend at Celestial Blue Photography. Their photo is truly a piece of art and that they entitled Frozen in Time. I haven't been doing these daily encouragements for too long. They started as text to a friend, which led to a group text, and then slowly evolved to Facebook posts to encourage more people, which led to the resurrection of my blog, and after I had a desire to open my discipleship class to more people via podcast, I started podcasting them too. I say all that to say this. As far as I can remember, I have never used photos from the same friend back to back. Also, out of respect for my few professional photographer friends, I try not to use their work too often unless I specifically know they are cool with it. So I hope my friend at Celestial Blue Photography won't object, but the title of their piece and the beauty of their work was very appropriate to what's on my mind this morning. I attend a divorce care group on Tuesday nights. You can find your own group near you at divorcedcare.org. And one of the things mentioned in last night's video caught my attention. In discussing the trauma of divorce and healing, one of the presenters stated that the response that we have to trauma can have a stunting effect on our growth. The dangers of living in the past and avoiding dealing with your emotions when going through a significant loss were highlighted, but the analogy that has me thinking was that this presenter likened our response to trauma to be similar to the pattern that develops in people with substance abuse problems. The presenter stated that when someone chooses a substance or something else as a coping mechanism, their emotional growth and maturity are frozen in time, meaning that whatever stage we are at when we start coping in an unhealthy way, we get stuck there. Essentially, we get caught in a cycle of continually doing the same things over and over, and unless something changes, we stay there. I think everyone can relate to this because we all know people who have basically remained the same throughout their lives. For some, that is commendable because of their kind or friendly disposition. For others, it isn't commendable because of their grating or abusive personalities. But regardless of where they fall in the nice versus not so nice spectrum, people who haven't grown or matured can be frustrating to deal with because they don't have dynamic responses to the difficulties in life. And the advice they provide to people going through trauma seem thoughtless, childlike in its simplicity, or positively inane. For most of my life, I was stuck in a cycle of reactivity that was driven by alcoholism and other fleshly patterns. My answers to life's problems and those hurting were childlike, thoughtless, and inane. Get over it. Have a drink. And, well, screw them, were some classics that you might have heard from me. In my stunted growth, I didn't have the depth of maturity to really process the complexity of what was happening or simply didn't want to deal with it. I was just one continuous cycle of reactive responses of pain and pleasure, and when you are in that, there's no room for anyone else and their problems, so you tend to isolate. I might have been trapped in that cycle for the rest of my life, but two things changed it. In 2001, I suffered a major heartbreaking trauma, and in the wake of it, I actively sought the meaning of life. Life went on in my patterns for a long time, but throughout it all, I was seeking truth, and in the process, I discovered new ways to interpret my experience in life, and eventually, and thankfully, I found the truth, the way, and the life, Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people who have suffered possibly the greatest loss of their lives in the not-so-distant past, but my experience may be able to help in some small way. I can encourage you that you don't have to be frozen in time to the brokenness and the loss that you're experiencing. The losses we experience in life give us a shock treatment that can leave us devastated and hurt, but they can also be used to shift our understanding and help us to grow. Our loss of innocence can open our eyes to the truth that was obscured when we were just living our lives. Now, please don't get this twisted. The world will give you tons of advice of what you should do in the wake of heartache and pain, and a lot of it will be childlike, thoughtless, or inane. But some of it can be harmful. See my simplistic remarks quotes above if you need a reminder. So when you're looking for some healing from the losses you suffered, go to the healer. When you're looking for answers, go to the truth. When you're looking for comfort, go to the comforter. Our faith in Christ was supposed to give us new life. In the wake of trauma and loss, you have the unique opportunity to put the world's wisdom and the world's ideas of for what happiness is supposed to be aside and seek the way that brings peace that goes beyond understanding and that allows you to experience joy regardless of the circumstances. So pick yourself up and keep walking and talking with God. He has a lot to say to you, but he is also a good listener. He has some new things to bring you to, but he will walk with you at your pace. He is not surprised by your new journey, but he has a new path for you to follow and new levels of growth and maturity to walk into. This journey begins with a single step towards him. It may be long, but with God, it will never be lonely. This morning's meditation verse is Philippians 4:4. From the New King James Version, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Today's verse reminds us of the emotional stance we can take as Christians. We can and should rejoice. And because the Lord knew that we might doubt our ability to do so, the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to say it twice. Again, I will say, rejoice. Some may look at our impermanent world and the suffering in it and ask, what's there to be so happy about? Well, first of all, the Lord is not just saying, don't worry, be happy. He is telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. How do we do that? And how can we do that always? In Victory Over the Darkness, Dr. Neil Anderson gives us an idea of how we can rejoice always by his explanation of how our emotions can be influenced by our thoughts. So when we are to rejoice in the Lord, we are to direct our thoughts towards him, his word, and what he has done in our lives. Every good thing we have experienced in our lives was brought to us by the Creator of all things. All those happenstances that made you happy were put into motion by God. Happenstance is another way to say coincidence, but with a sovereign God, there are no coincidences. So we should rejoice over all the good we have experienced, but beyond the good times, the Lord provides us with ultimate meaning and truth and the assurance of our purpose and safety. We can rejoice always in the Lord because the greatest mystery of existence has not only been revealed to us, but through its revelation, we understand that we have been specifically selected and called to know the mystery of life, and have been assured that we have a safe place with the Lord in the ultimate reality that the history of existence is leading to. Watchman Nee hypothesizes in The Normal Christian Life that the Apostle Paul refers to the saints who have gone into eternity as having gone to sleep rather than dying because of the reality of their everlasting life and the fact that Christians never really die. In Christ, we have the assurance of everlasting life. In Christ, we are accepted, significant, and secure. When we keep these ultimate realities in our consciousness, our natural response will be to rejoice. So when life circumstances are less than ideal, ponder your identity in Christ and the significance of what all that means and rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we're in continuing recognition of Mental Health Awareness Month, we continue to share from Dr. June Hunt's Suicide Prevention, How Life Seems Hopeless, Hope When Life Seems Hopeless. Yikes. And today we're sharing from the section that says, what is the profile of a suicidal males and females? So to get that information, check out that resource. Go to mtforchrist.org. Thank you all for listening, and God bless you all.